For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
Ten years ago, I don't know if you would have thought I would be one of these. And there's actually a couple of things I didn't think I would be 10 years ago. We're only going to talk about one of those today. Stick around, we'll get there. Welcome to All New, All Different, but still All of the Above. New version of the old scene. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? You can find me on Facebook.com. My name, HANKTHORPE. You can find my old school page, Facebook.com/AllOfTheAboveRadio. Haven't been on there a bit. Need to post the All of the Above Radio alumni photo. Great photo that it is. You can find me on Instagram, @Hank. Hey, how you doing? Or @HankToldYouSo. Both of my personalities are on there. One I'm slightly more active on than the other, though I'm not wildly active on any of them. You want to email me? alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. And hell, I'll continue to shill for it for the next year, really. I think that's the statute of limitations. Feel free to get on honeyfund.com and search Hank and Haley, or Henry and Haley. I don't remember which one it is. If you're in the mood to contribute, don't let me stop you. If you already have, thank you. Vote early, vote often. So it's when I'm coming to you in the makeshift studios of the reasonably comfortable yet painfully expensive Plano condominium that I live in with my wife. It is a Saturday night. A couple weeks ago, my still very new bride says to me, "Babe, is it okay if I have a girls' night?" And I said, "Of course, enjoy." She proceeds to tell me more about it, and she says, "Well, me and blah blah have been reading Where the Crawdads Sing, and we're gonna have a discussion about the book, and then we're gonna watch the movie." And I said, "Okay, enjoy." And so, as I am speaking to you, well, as I'm recording this, and wherever you're listening to it, that's up to you. But as I'm speaking to you, my wife is at a book discussion / movie watching. And as I sat here trying to get my Amazon Fire Stick to work so I could watch episode 3 of She-Hulk, it wasn't working. And I thought the universe at that point was telling me something. What it was telling me was to open a beer. And then what it told me after that was, if you can't watch some TV, why don't you get up off your narrow tail and do some recording. So I sip a Belgian and dive on in. So 10 years ago, really even, we'll call it 5.5 years ago, of the many things that I have become in this most current stage of my life, I have said over and over again, as a human being, we shed layers of skin like a snake, and we become something new every few years based on how much money you have or your station in life or the people that are around you. And because, in largest part because of my wife. If you remember on the in the archives of All of the Above Radio, I used to talk to you quite frequently and say that book reading was a very huge hole in my intelligence, and I wished I was able to figure out a way to do it. And once I kind of came to the understanding that audiobooks existed, and once I came to the personal thought that audiobooks are okay, because this was once upon a time a question actually raised by my wife on Facebook, was if you are listening to an audiobook and you complete it, does it still count as reading the book? And there are people that are honest to goodness, what's the word, purists or classics or whatever, that say it's all about the feel of the pages in your hand. It's all about your imagination creating it as you read it. And then there's other people that chimed in to say, well, finishing the material is finishing the material. And here's why I personally lean to audiobooks versus in-hand books. And it's crazy when you go back and look at your life and just realize how much makes sense the older you get and are able to look back on all those things. When I was a kid, and my mother will attest to this, when I was a kid, I absolutely hated reading class. English, reading, grammar, whatever it was, if it involved having to read The Great Gatsby or The Fat Sultan and the Good Lesson or A Gumby Cat Named Jenny Any Dots, I hated it all. I hated holding a book and trying to read it. I felt stupid. I had to repeat pages. It just took far too long. And anytime I took in the information properly, or at least was able to internalize it, somebody was reading it to me, whether it was my fellow third graders in class, whether it was my mother at the end of a night, whether it was my sister because I somehow conned her into it. I don't know how I did that. She had far better things to do. 9 years older than me. She probably could have been out. But all the same, when somebody was reading it to me, I was able to retain it better. And I'm not going to go into my long speech about public school and how it's god-awful for teachers, but I will say this. I feel awful for every teacher out there. You as a public school teacher, or a private school teacher for that matter, you're given anywhere between 15 and 40 people in your classroom, and you're taught, and you're charged with having to teach them the same material. You're charged to teach them the material in the exact same way, knowing full well that if there's 15 to 40 people in that classroom, maybe 10 of them learn by looking at it on a board, maybe 5 of them look at it by, or maybe 5 of them learn it by getting on YouTube later, maybe 10 of them learn it by having hands-on experience. It's an awful, awful thing that public school teachers and teachers in general have to go through, is trying to get to every single student, meanwhile trying to teach it to them all one way. And what I came to learn about myself somewhere down the line is that me and books are not good friends. Me and sitting down reading paper, it's not good friends. I don't internalize the information. It just doesn't work for me. And I started kind of going back throughout my life and realizing just how few books I read academically and how many classes I may or may not have failed as a result of it, or how many classes I had to have a tutor for as a result of it. And here we are now, ladies and gentlemen, with an audiobook. A way that I can feel a little bit more intelligent, be able to contribute more to a conversation, or just, far be it for me to say, enrich my life just a little bit more, because now the written page is being brought to life by the spoken word. It's kind of nice. Really, though, it's kind of nice. And because my wife is an avid reader, we will go into Half Price Books or Barnes & Noble, and we will, we will walk the whole bookstore, and she will usually have a very large stack of books to figure out what to take home, what's for next time, and all of that good stuff. And you know what I do? Any book that seems interesting, I take a picture of it, I go home, and I see if I can find it on Audible. Because if I can't listen to it, I'm not going to read it. And there's a reasonable chance that if it's over 10 hours, I'm probably still not going to listen to it. And by the way, to those of you who can listen to an audiobook at 1.5 or 2 times speed or faster than that and still retain it, I'm tipping my glass of Belgian to you. Holy crap. I am still in a spot where I'm listening at regular speed and still have to pop that back 30 seconds button every so often to really let the information sink in. So I will ask you just real quick, how do you take in your books? This is where you are able to chat with me, alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. I would love to know how you take in your books, and do you have an opinion on, are audiobooks considered real books? I tend to think they are, and I'm a little biased. I'm going to, of course, say I think they are, because if it wasn't for audiobooks, I wouldn't be reading at all. So, last year, and if you are a loyal listener to All New, All Different, All of the Above, first of all, I appreciate you. I don't give you near enough content. But if you're a loyal listener to All New, All Different, All of the Above, I set forth several goals that I wanted to surpass in 2021. My wife is a very big person into setting a goal for the year and surpassing it. Matter of fact, when it comes to books, her goal last year, I want to say, I want to say her goal was 36 books, and she ended up reading 50? All the same, she read close to, if not slightly over, 50 books last year. You want to know what my goal for 2021 was? Six. I'll say that again. My goal for 2021, six audiobooks. That's right. You say whatever the heck you want. You're welcome to judge. Or you can just simply say, well, you're just getting yourself started in all this. I don't know that I'm ever going to reach 50. Okay. I know I will never reach 50. You are not supposed to speak in absolutes or definites, but ooh, boy, I don't know that that's going to ever happen. But as part of my list of goals last year, there are 8 here, and I will talk about those on another day. That's a whole other show. That's a show that was supposed to happen in late January of this year. But for those of you who have ever planned a wedding or helped plan a wedding or been the participant of a wedding, you know just how quickly time gets away from you when there's a lot of other deadlines to meet. And so sooner than later, I will give you the 2021 goals check, because my God, I know you're still hanging on the edge of your seat. More realistically, you forgot, but that's beside the point. But here today, I figure since my wife is at a book discussion group / movie watching party, I thought, why don't I get on the air and talk to you about the books I read last year? Excuse me. Books I absorbed last year. By the way, you guys really should see this scene. Matter of fact, let's see if I have my phone near me. I do. I'm going to bring you into the, I'm going to bring you in behind the curtain here. I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to make sure I get everything in the shot. So there's the microphone, there's the camera, there's the list of books, and there's me toasting a glass of Midwinter Night's Dram into the mirror. Okay. And then here's another shot of me toasting into the mirror. Okay. So we've moved off the Belgian, we've slid over to whiskey, and this could get to be a very, very messy podcast really soon, ladies and gentlemen. And some of you have taken your hands off the steering wheel and are rubbing your hands together like every dastardly cartoon villain at the thought of me having a buzz on the air. Here we go. So I did listen to the goal of 6 audiobooks, and that's exactly what I hit, and I stopped right there. But I got it done, ladies and gentlemen. And here I am to tell you the 6 audiobooks that I listened to last year. The first, Is This Anything? By Jerry Seinfeld. Probably my favorite book that I listened to, and when I tell you a little bit about it, you'll come to understand why. So Jerry Seinfeld, one of the most famous comedians of the last, we'll call it 40 years, he decided, and it's basically a really quick preface and a really quick ending of the book, he basically talks about the phrase, Is This Anything? Where comics are in the green room or in the back of a comedy club talking to each other and yellow legal pad style sourcing out little pieces of material and saying, Is this anything? So with the book, Is This Anything? By Jerry Seinfeld, he decided to take every single thing he wrote down on a yellow legal pad in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and now, and put it into a book. And so basically, the audiobook, Is This Anything?, was anywhere between one sentence and a paragraph and a half of the start of material. And it was amazing to listen to, because some of the material ended up being the beginning of, the end of, or the whole episode's plotline of Seinfeld, the TV show. Some of it was gold, some of it was garbage, but at some point or another, it was all a concept in his head of, Is this anything? I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I could not get enough of it, and it was the easiest audiobook I listened to all year. There's one other that was as easy to listen to. We'll get to that one last. Number 2. America the Book by Jon Stewart. So remember how I told you that I was not a great book learner, I'm an awful book reader, so that makes me a bad book learner when it comes to academics and school and history, politics, government, civics. Wait, it's not civics. Economics. These are all things that are very foreign concepts to me because they don't jump off the page. They are all, to me, a very bland language, a very dead language. And so I was hoping, this was my honest hope, because once upon a time there was some study, who knows how real the study is, but 9 out of 10 of us have said at some point or another, well, I heard a study from somewhere. We don't know where that crap came from. But I once heard a study that more people got their news from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart than the nightly news from their local network. And so I thought, you know what? Let me buy and listen to America the Book and see if I can actually retain or relearn some information about American politics. Let me see if I can understand this better. Because I promise you, I do genuinely want to learn and understand. I want to be able to at least not look like a bumbling, burping caveman in front of people when they start talking about politics. But what I learned very quickly is that book meant nothing to me. What I appreciated was Jon Stewart. I appreciated his reading of it. I appreciated all the different asides, whether they be from Ed Helms or from Samantha Bee. I appreciated the way that they tried to present it. I appreciate the fact that it was very informational, yet it was comedic and light. And in moments where it needed to be important, it was. But in moments where you could kind of discredit history for being overly racist, overly sexist, any of it, overly white male dominated, whatever you want to call it, they took time to make fun of themselves, quote unquote, as dominant American race. So it was a good book, but I'm not going to say how much I learned from it. Would I recommend it? Sure, I guess. It's probably a book that freshman year of college government, it's probably required reading because it's probably a much more lighthearted version of the stuff you were supposed to learn in that sixth grade. But it did nothing for me. Number three, Sous Chef from Michael Gibney. Okay, I've had this existential crisis off and on, oh boy, possibly for the better part of 10 years, maybe even a little longer than that. This is back in, we'll say maybe 2010 or so, when I used to work at Uncle Julio's. There was a dude named Bill who worked with me. He's maybe 11 years older than me. He's skin as dark as me. He was adopted and raised by white parents, and he enjoys / jokingly takes pride in people calling him Carlton. This is a reference from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's a reference that is dying, unfortunately, because that show is so freaking old now. But Bill, I would dare call him a restaurant lifer. And when Bill and I worked together, we used to play Golden Tee together, we used to scope women together, we used to do shots together. I adore that man to this day. But a younger version of me, and we'll call it 2009, 2010, said, I don't want to grow up to be that. I don't want to be a restaurant lifer. At the time I was convinced, and in small moments I'm still convinced, that I'm supposed to be doing more with the life that I was given and the opportunities that my parents gave me. And I listened to books like Sous Chef by Michael Gibney and think about just how much I enjoy them and think, crap, I'm in this for a really long time. I have been in the restaurant business for a very long time, and so long as it continues to pay as well as it does and give me an opportunity to take care of my wife the way I would like and yet still be able to take vacations almost at will, I'm going to be here. I'm not going anywhere. Now, for all of you out there listening, if you happen to know somebody that would like to money whip me into a day job that I can show up at like 10 and I get paid to be left alone, I don't know that I really care what I'm doing, but if you want to pay me and then leave me alone, you have my attention. And it could be corporate in a restaurant, by the way. Anyway, I digress. Sous Chef by Michael Gibney is basically a 2.5 day jaunt through this guy as a sous chef. Basically, the opening of the kitchen, the busy dinner shift, the preparation for dinner, the preparation for the specials, the preparation for brunch, the struggle he has to spend time with his girlfriend, the relationships in the back with the rest of the cooks, the relationships back and forth with the servers and the bussers and the back waiters and the management. I have never seen the TV show The Bear. I've heard it's phenomenal. A restaurant-based television show, by the way. I've heard it's phenomenal, but shows like that give some people anxiety. For me, it's just kind of calming because I just think, oh, yeah, okay. I understand that. I will tell you all, as I take a sip of Midwinter Night's Dram, I just finished the bottle. I have another one. Don't ask me how I got it. Not always proud of the things I do. But I actually lost my train of thought. See, this is what happens when you listen to All New, All Different, All of the Above, and I'm drinking. I don't always keep on a straight... Well, I don't keep on a straight path any damn way. And then you trust me to keep on a straight path while I've got whiskey in my hand? Wow. We're all stupid there. Or we're all brilliant. I don't know. So I'll just go back to the start of the point to say that I absolutely enjoyed the book. And by the way, Michael Gibney, it doesn't ever say where he works. They come to the conclusion that he works at Tavern on the Green, one of the most well-known restaurants in New York City. It's never authenticated, it's never confirmed, but it is said that that's where he works. And, oh, here was my point. After doing this for so long, after being in the restaurant business for so long, I have come to the understanding that food is one of the very few things in this world that makes sense to me. And it's not just food, it's food pairings, food combinations, it's how food and alcohol combine. It's one of the few things that makes sense. I can watch an episode of Chopped and it, no matter how stressful it is, it just seems kind of relaxing. As busy as a shift can get, as annoyed as a shift can get while I'm working, there is something so zen about it once you hit a really good groove. It doesn't always happen, but there's just something so soothing about it. And so books like Sous Chef by Michael Gibney, it was a ton of fun. It was another one that I just could not wait to get back into. I could not wait to continue to listen to. It was a lot of fun. I genuinely enjoyed it. And I would wonder if a book like this was a precursor to the TV show The Bear, or was it one of Anthony Bourdain's many books, or had I done any bit of research before I flipped on the microphone, I wonder if The Bear, the TV show, is based on a book written by the same guy. Highly possible. If you were thinking I was gonna delve into a whole bunch of classics like The Catcher in the Rye, or Moby Dick, or The Great Gatsby, I hate to disappoint you. But here I am, giving you the 6 audiobooks that I listened to last year. Once again, I'm holding the laminated sheet of paper with my goals for 2021. I will give you that episode on a different day. I promise you, before 2022 is out, I will give you that episode. No matter when I give it to you, it was already late. So at this point, it's just going to be a slight bit later. The fourth book that I listened to in 2021 was Pappyland by Wright Thompson. So Wright Thompson is formerly... See, this is what happens when I just put together... Okay. Behind the curtain, everybody. Once again, behind the curtain. I pulled up my phone to look at my list of 2022 topics to figure out what I felt passionate enough about to vamp on tonight. And then wasn't absolutely feeling any of them, so I pulled out my list of books. And if I was a little more prepared or a little less whiskey infused, I would have pulled up the excerpts or some favorite quote from the book and made this like a much more professional podcast. But Jesus Christ, that's not why you guys show up to All New, All Different, All of the Above. It's just not. You show up because you're making a very long drive and you want to be entertained. So here we are. Pappyland by Wright Thompson. If I remember correctly, he is a long form writer for ESPN. He did a lot of features about, I want to say, maybe Kentucky Derby. I'm actually, because I care about you, my listeners, friends and enemies, I care about you enough to tell you what Wright Thompson has done. Wright Thompson. Yep, senior writer for ESPN.com and ESPN the magazine. He formerly worked at the Kansas City Star and the Times-Picayune in New Orleans. Thompson's topics have covered a wide range of sports issues, from football, basketball, and baseball, to car racing, sports history, Father's Day, and bullfighting. And he's only 3 years older than me. He's done a whole lot of 30 for 30s. Some of his other books, The Cost of These Dreams and The Best American Sports Writing. Now, here we are talking about Pappyland, the book that I listened to. So instead of doing sports writing, Wright Thompson decided to have a very long couple of months with the man who is going to take over the Van Winkle Distillery. So Julian, the original Pappy Van Winkle, if I remember, I'm pretty sure that's right. Like I said, I didn't totally prepare, but the book takes a very long trip through the history of Pappy Van Winkle. For those of you who are bourbon drinkers, Pappy, old Rip Van Winkle and Pappy Van Winkle are some of the most sought after bourbon you can find. It has been bought and distributed by a couple of different people as the years have rolled on. It is now under the very large umbrella of Buffalo Trace. Pappy Van Winkle is really interesting from the story, is basically now a memory. The book will tell you this just as quickly as I will, but Pappy Van Winkle, it's the original recipe died with the original grandfather, the originator of it, and it's now being carried on by the grandson based on just the memory he has of what his grandfather made. So I just gave you the beginning of the book and the end of the book. In the middle is a really long story of how distilleries like Brown Forman and Elijah Craig and Stitzel Weller all fit into the party, and how Kentucky was once huge and then was not, and then was huge again. It was a really interesting trip and travel into the world of bourbon, which some of you who were listening to the beginning of this show, when I said 10 years ago I didn't know I would be one of these, I also didn't know I would be a bourbon drinker. And let's not lie, I also didn't know I was going to be a husband. I sure as shit didn't think I was going to be one 10 years ago.
I don't know what the hell I thought I was gonna be, but I'm glad I didn't turn out to be that. Oh, dear God.
And by the way, if you're ever curious about my love and or occasional obsession with bourbon, feel free to go back into the archives. I want to say that's January of 2021, where I do a deep dive into my history as a collector and how bourbon and whiskey is now my current collecting habit. It's a fantastic show. It was a really fun show. I very much enjoyed that one. And I really do need to drink some more of this stuff before I buy more. I have made that vow to myself, so alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. If you wanna come over, you and I, we could start chatting. If you live in the local DFW area, you're not a psychopath who's going to kill me, and you're willing to bring over some really nice food to trade, I've got some really nice stuff here. Seriously. Number 5 of the books I listened to last year. Off Menu. O-F-F space menu. M-E-N-U. By Nell McShane Wolfhart. Is that... I wrote in Sharpie and I write terribly. I don't always have the clearest writing, ladies and gentlemen. But I believe that's Nell McShane Wolfhart. Off Menu. So... like I said before, I don't have the most literary classics in my queue. I have a lot of books about food or the food industry. You see a bourbon book here. You see a book from a stand-up, from two different stand-up comedians, ladies and gentlemen. And we have yet another book about food. An Off Menu. Off Menu was a book that had a whole lot of sway, and I'm going to bring up the chapters just so I'm... let's find this here. There we go.
This?
Don't know that this is not audible. Shut up. So, I'm going to read to you the chapters from Off Menu by Nell McShane Wolfhart. Taste versus flavor. The sound of food. How smell affects taste. Smell your way to better health. What you see is what you get in terms of packaging. Cutlery, wine glasses, color me delicious. So, Off Menu was a bit of a travel into the psychological nature of how we perceive food. Some somewhat interesting information about perception versus reality versus flavor versus just everything coming together in some way or another, and how you have no idea how your brain is playing a role in how you taste your food. Small example, talking about eating with, randomly enough, then I remember this from the book, eating with gold cutlery has shown in studies that food is most enjoyable. Least enjoyable? Plastic. And then, let's see, this book also talked about the idea of the perfect ice cube and how, and this is actually the book that taught me that if you go to certain restaurants where they have really pretty craft cubes, there's a reasonable chance that they actually poured a gigantic, they filled a giant cooler of water and then just kept chipping away at the cloudy ice until they got to the clear ice and then formed cubes out of that. This book talked about the proper way to serve food, the proper phases, packaging of cereal boxes. It was, the volume of music and the type of music that heightens your dining experience. It was a really interesting book, but it was also a book that kind of there's certain type of anything really that offends me, and I am a little teeny tiny bit offended by the concept that we as human beings can be so quickly brainwashed and or manipulated. And it burns my muffins a little bit to when you start to listen to books that do psychological bends like this, that tell you that turning up the music can cause you to be too aggressive, or turning the music down too low can cause the conversation to be too mundane, or something to those examples. I hate, and this is a personal thing, I hate the thought process that I am not in control of my mind at all times. But having worked at Foot Locker for a long time, I came to the understanding that when you're in a market that plays hip-hop music, and you play hip-hop music really loud, it causes people to be either A, aggressive, or B, well, energized in some way or another, whether it amplifies the fact that they were annoyed or amplifies the fact that they were in a party mood. So I understand that there are subtle ways to manipulate people. For example, making it just a little bit colder in a restaurant so that people are tempted to leave a little faster so you can turn tables. These are things that I understand and things that I see on a regular basis. Or turning the lights up 15 minutes before you're closing. Turning the music off 2 minutes after you close. There's all sorts of different little bitty cues you can throw, and this book, Off Menu by Nell McShane Wolfhart, is full of them. It was a good book. It was an informational book, and that was part of its downfall. I loved Sous Chef by Michael Gibney because it just felt like it was like you were standing next to the author as he was telling you the story. He put you in the story. Whereas Off Menu was very educational, and it was an info dump. It was a dump of information over your head of all sorts of different food information, which I love. But even still, you can only spoon feed me so much. And I never thought I would be one of these people, but whenever you read the comment section of an audiobook, they will talk about love the content, couldn't stand the narrator. That's a very real thing. It is a very real thing that the narrator of the audiobook can genuinely add or subtract 2 to 3 points from the book. If we're grading on a scale from 1 to 10, the narrator can do that much. If a narrator is too dry, if a narrator is too self-important, if a narrator takes themselves too seriously, I just said the same thing twice, sorry about that. If a narrator isn't matching the material, if their accent doesn't feel real, it could be anything. The audiobook I'm listening to right now, I don't love the narrator because she's a little biased in how she reports her material, but we'll talk about that later. I would genuinely recommend Off Menu for somebody who likes the idea of how psychology and food come together, or if you want to peel back the curtain on how marketing is done and how big companies are trying to rope you in. It's a good piece of information. It's not the kind of book I enjoy. It didn't grip me. It didn't make me want to listen to more. It was more of a, I need to finish this. And speaking of I need to finish this, I have one more book to talk about in the 2021 goals list. So here's just another quick recap. You've been listening to the whole show, and yet I do a reset anyway. It's just what I was, what I do. In 2021, I came with a whole bunch of goals because my wife is a goal setter, so I didn't want to be left behind. So I set forth with a bunch of goals myself. And while she had a certain amount of books she wanted to read, and she does audiobooks and in-hand books, by the way, so and she can handle more than one at a time. I can handle more than one TV show at a time. So can she. But she can handle several books at a time. It's really very impressive, by the way. But I had a goal of 6 audiobooks, and here they are. Number 6. There's some of you that will not be surprised at all by this. You'll be surprised that this was a book, but not surprised at the fact that I listened to it. It's called Earn the Right to Win by Tom Coughlin. If you don't know who Tom Coughlin is, no, he is not the little cousin of Ernest Hemingway that learned at his lap. Tom Coughlin was the head coach of the New York Giants for the 2007 and 2011 Super Bowl teams that beat the Patriots, by the way. Earn the Right to Win was... It is kind of marketed as a business how-to book in terms of how to build and cultivate a team atmosphere. But the reason I bought and listened to the book was because it was basically, I'll tell you exactly how many hours it was. Hold on. Back to Audible we go. Earn the Right to Win was... Yeah, I know. This is Audible. I know. Earn the Right to Win was 5 hours and 5 minutes, basically, of Tom Coughlin telling you how he was able to coax my beloved New York Giants into 2 Super Bowls. And he did a phenomenal job of combining a how to build your business culture with here's how I did it. And he just happened to tell a whole lot of stories about Michael Strahan, Osi Umenyora, Justin Tuck, Eli Manning, Ahmad Bradshaw, Brandon Jacobs, R.W. McCorders, so on and so on and so on. It was, first of all, it was a little bit light on the actual business material of how to build and cultivate a business model. It was a little bit light on it. If I were going to sit it, I wouldn't recommend it to somebody and say, this is how you start your company. And it's not because Tom Coughlin wasn't obviously a great leader of men for what the Giants needed at the time, but it's just because the subject material was a little light. It had a lot more stories about the New York Giants and some stories about how to better build your business. And you know what? That's the kind of book I enjoy. Because truthfully, if you tried to beat me over the head with a whole lot of technical jargon, and if you wanted to give me an accompanying PDF document, I'm throwing that book out the proverbial window. Because if we were just listening to me talk about Off Menu by Nell McShane Wolfhart, that was my big issue about the book, is that it kind of beat you over the head. It was a little overly informational. Whereas America the Book was a little overly informational and somewhat comedic, at least Off Menu was information that I cared about from left to right. It may not have been in a way that I always loved, but I cared about the information and I was fascinated by it. Now, Earn the Right to Win by Tom Coughlin, I absolutely loved it. It was my number 2 book of 2021
behind Is This Anything by Jerry Seinfeld. And that's hard, because as much as I loved Sous Chef by Michael Gibney, Earn the Right to Win by Tom Coughlin was my number two book last year. I mean, that's probably a little bit on the nose. Stand-up comedy, one, New York Giants, two, and you really just could have flip-flopped them and made as much sense as the other. Really, though. Like I said, I wanted to just give you a review of the books, because if I were to go into the actual goals I set for myself for 2021, other than just the books, that would be a two-hour show. And I think I want to give you guys slightly less of those shows to listen to. The last two shows I gave you, my Interview the Bride special and the show before that, the alumni photo, those were both very long shows. Thank you for listening to them from left to right, and there's a reasonable chance you needed to listen all the way from left to right to figure out when I was going to talk about you in the alumni photo, or to listen to my wife's answers about the wedding and her being a bride. But I would like to give you some shorter shows in these coming months as we bring 2022 to a close. One of them will most assuredly be the rest of the goals that I had for 2021. That is going to be a thing. I promise you that. And actually, I'll just give you a sneak preview. One of the goals I had for myself for 2021 was more time for myself. And I sit here in a empty condo as my lovely wife is at a book club or a book discussion group. I don't know that she would call it a book club because she's in her 30s, not because she's in her 60s.
Oh, crap.
But I had a minute, and my Amazon wasn't letting me watch She-Hulk, so I said, you know what? I need to talk to the people. The people that want to still hear me after all these years and after all these empty months lacking content. I owe you all. And I thank you all. And if I had any level of beverage, I would cheers to you all. But that's what the next show is for. Maybe I'll crack another beverage and do something about it. Until then, don't forget to find me on Instagram at Hank Told You So or at Hank How You Doing. Feel free to email me what you're listening to or what you're reading. And you just listened to the six books I listened to. Two of them were from stand-up comics. Two of them were about food. One of them was about football. One of them was about bourbon. I think you know what kind of books I'd be into. If you want to recommend me something, you might not want to recommend The Princess and the Pea or Crazy Rich Asians. Which, by the way, if you ask my wife, I have a really bad narration of that book. Something that would probably get canceled in 2022 if anybody ever heard me do it. But I think it's funny. But if you've got a book recommendation, I would love to hear it. Because Lord knows I've got far too many books in my queue right now that I'm either ignoring or afraid to start listening to because they're longer than 10 hours. So I'll take another suggestion. Until then, we will do this again soon. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. My name is Hank, and this has been All New, All Different, All of the Above. May there be a next time. I say till next time.